Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
Hello and welcome to Mainstream by Pixel Sift. My name is Mitch and joining me today is Viv. Hey, Viv.
Hey, how's it going?
And you might know Viv from such gems as Farming Fridays and many other Pixel Sift projects such as Paxel Sift. But here at Pixel Sift, we've made our name delivering some of the best indie games coverage from games around Australia and the world. But this is Mainstream Episode 8, and on Mainstream, we discuss what high-profile blockbuster games we've been playing recently in both our back catalogs or brand new. And as well as the what we've been reading in the news recently. So first up, Viv, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Two Point Hospital.
Nice. And so I've also been playing Super Smash Brothers, the new Super Smash Brothers game. And yeah, I've been dragged to people's houses. I don't actually own it myself. But yeah, let's jump into it.
Australia's best video game podcast.
Subscribe to Pixel Sift on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are found.
All right, so Viv, Two Point Hospital, run me through it.
So for those who don't know what it is, it's like the spiritual successor to the old Scene Hospital. And I guess for a frame of reference, anyone who's played like the Sims games, it's basically that type of game.
You know, yeah. I was watching you play it on stream the other night, and it reminded me a lot of Roller Coaster Tycoon, except it's sort of fun rides. People are getting treatment and dying.
Yeah. That's, I'd say so. Actually, if anything, I've been watching this YouTuber because it came across my YouTube recommendations, and this guy does the absolute worst things in these type of games. So in Two Point, he would make the worst hospital and somehow make profit out of it.
The worst hospital would just be some, like, a hospital with no equipment in it, and people just go in and, like...
Oh yeah, so it can be, like, a really windy receptionist area, like a maze that the patients have to walk all the way into the middle floor, and then it's like, oh, we don't have doctors, I guess you just go home. You know, that kind of stuff.
So, like, when you play a Sims game, like, the most horrible thing to do in a Sims game is create a pool and then take out the pool ladder so the Sims can't get out of it. Is there an equivalent of this in Two Point Hospital?
I guess the equivalent would be not cool. It's, like, a very indirect kind of thing, though. Like, for the worst case, the worst possible scenario to happen in Two Point. So, I guess the goal is you have to make money with this hospital that you've built. And to make money, you have to treat patients. However, patients, if they don't get attended to quickly enough, they can die in your hospital, and that's really bad for your reputation. So I guess in akin to that, if I don't treat patients quickly enough, they just die in my hospital. I guess that's kind of one way I could do it. Or just don't hire any doctors and then they just die in the hospital.
If you have a zero doctor hospital, they just die anyway.
Yeah, probably.
Because I noticed you get like a really big shame notification when someone dies in your hospital.
Oh yeah, like, you know, like the death bell rings, and then it's
this guy's dying. Huge downer.
Oh yeah, and the animation takes forever, so it's like, oh look, this guy's dying now because of you. You know, it really, they really draw it out.
And then at the end of like each hospital year, you get evaluated.
Oh yeah, for sure. So there's like 8 different categories. It's kind of like the Oscars for hospitals, but yeah. And they evaluate on like you on like the best hospital and hospital with like no deaths, or like best research hospital, that kind of stuff. I have never gotten the no death one, so
like someone dies every year. I mean, it's pretty unreasonable to have someone not die in a hospital.
I've had a couple of places where patients didn't die for a couple of years, which was really good. Though last night I was playing it, and there was like a death ring, like a death bell every like 5 seconds. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. This is okay. Everything is fine. Everyone's dying. That's how it is.
So how is it possible to fail this game, like, when you run out of money?
Yeah, so you can run out of money. So if you've spent too much money or you've taken out too many loans, you don't pass the level. So like, it's like a stage game. So you start on one hospital, build it up to like 3 stars, and then you hop onto the next. And if you can't use your resources well enough to kind of push you through, you don't pass it. That's, yeah.
I like the concept of the Oscars for hospital at the end, yeah. Hospitals at the end of it. It's really great. Like, so how did you, so how, do you, other than you, who do you think this game is for?
I'd say this game is really good for people who really like to micromanage, because that's essentially what this game does. Like, allows you to do, you're just allowed to micromanage every intricate detail of, I guess, this hospital. You want to micromanage the temperature, you want to micromanage how often your staff can take breaks, how often they can go to the toilet, everything.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
So, like, is it, so do you think you'd be playing it, like, how much time do you think you're going to sink into this?
It depends where I am in the game. So with like difficulty progressions and whatnot, if it's relatively easy, I'll just sit there and I can play for hours, you know, like, yeah, like if I'm having a good time and no one is dying, I can just sit there and play and micromanage all the doctors and all the stuff. But if it gets harder, I'll just play it for like an hour or two and then kind of hopping off. Like, it's not something, like, it can be intense, but it's something you can jump back into or leave at any time, because it is like a time, like a game you can pause.
It came out in 2018, 2 Point Hospital, that is, and features some of the team from the original Theme Hospital, which was originally made by UK-based studio Bullfrog. So that was 2 Point Hospital for Windows, Mac OS, and Linux. It is available on Steam and all the other consoles. I think it's available on Xbox One and Switch. And it's been... So it comes to its console next week, actually, on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. All right, so I think we could move on to our next game.
Sit down for a chat with your pals in video games. This is Mainstream by Pixelsift.
All right, so I've been playing Super Smash Bros. Ultimate recently, and playing is an interesting way of saying it, because I've been going to my friend's house and playing it, and he's really good, and him and his brother are really good, and our friend from out of town is locked in a bitter rivalry, which I heard was solved the other day when one of them beat the other. But yeah, I'm kind of, whenever I play Super Smash Bros., it's kind of just like hitting buttons and making it happen, but I'm liking it so far. Have you played it, Viv?
Not quite. What kind of game is it, would you say?
I don't know. Okay, yeah, so basically, for those of you who don't know about the Super Smash Bros. Phenomenon, it's pretty much a collection. It's a game which collects like the very greatest of Nintendo and now Sega, and also Metal Gear characters. Also, there's a Metal Gear character in it. Well, it's a collection of some of the greatest video game characters of all time, and they are now in a single plane fighting game.
Oh, so like a side-scroller almost.
Yeah, so that kind of thing. So they just beat each other up, and the objective of the game is to pretty much knock the opponent as far away from the arena as possible.
I've seen my partner play it sometimes, and like, I guess the point of it is to knock your opponents off the ledge or something like that.
Yeah, so...
It doesn't really make sense to me in terms of how you do that, because there's like no hit points.
So you gather damage. So like, a damage is in percentages. So it starts at 0 and it goes up from there. And the more damage you have, the further your character will go when they are hit in a certain way. So like, so if you're on like, you're on 100% versus 0%, a 0% character might fly like a little bit further, but like a character on like 150% damage will fly like completely off the map and then get eliminated. I've just been like, so I've been playing that intermittently at my friend's house. I don't actually own a Switch, which is like, it's a weird gaming experience for me. So like, I have a lot of games, and I have a lot of gaming experience in other areas, but like, it's interesting to play a game and be passionate about it at someone else's house, but like, when I go home, I just don't really care about it. And like, so then I've been, and then also the way I pick a character, because like the game is pretty colorful, mm-hmm. which is usually my thing. I love that stuff, but I have trouble keeping track of the character on screen. So I've literally chosen the Inkling, which is like from Splatoon.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And okay. I've chosen the purple version of that character because I can see it on screen. Don't really care about what they can do. It's just because I could keep track of it.
So you can see what they do.
Exactly. Okay. Because the one thing that kills me the most in Super Smash Brothers is, I think, the fact that I lose my character and then they just fall off the map because I was just not staring at the right one.
And you just walked off without knowing.
That is exactly what happens. I don't know. It just seems like whenever I play, it's almost like if I even come close to damaging my friend, it's like that scene in like Avengers in Avengers Infinity War when like Tony Stark has to like hit Thanos like 50 times with like all his most powerful moves, and then like Thanos is like,
he gets like
that.
A little nosebleed.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just like, God.
God damn.
It's like he can't be killed. Yep. And which is essentially me in Super Smash Brothers against my friend who's like a veteran of the game. He's had every single version.
Yeah.
And he's like unstoppable.
Oh, does he count the frames as well and not? Oh, it's,
he does. He oh, goes, wow. Oh, you're just not attacking in the right frame. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's like,
and he's like, you're not teching, and I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, I that all that stuff goes over my head.
It's just like it's really interesting to play a game with someone who it's like almost like this game is their thing, mm-hmm. and I'm just like kind of just there to be there.
Mm-hmm. Is that one of the main things that stood out to you when you played?
Pretty much. I mean, like, I'm talking like less about the game and more about my experience in like playing with like really experienced people,
mm-hmm.
and like trying to just get a foothold in the game. I think I did beat him. I beat him once only because like I borderline cheated. it also seems like a game that shouldn't exist because like you've got all the Nintendo characters in there, obviously. Mm-hmm. Then you've got like characters like from Platinum games like Bayonetta, mm-hmm. like she's also in it somehow. And then you've got Solid Snake, who's also in it. Then you got Sonic, who's also in this game. And he's been in there. Like, I remember it was a big deal when Sonic, like, entered the game. And now he's just there. Like, it's like, oh, great. Sonic, just like the Sonic movie, which is out.
And then, like, Isabelle from Animal Farm.
Isabelle from
Oh, my God. Animal Crossing. I get Animal Crossing. My bad.
Yikes. Yeah. Isabelle from Animal Farm. What a nightmare.
Wow.
All right. Well, speaking of Isabelle, I think it's time to move on to our first news topic.
This is Mainstream by Pixel Sift.
So recently it's come to my attention and yours, Viv, that the new Doom game and Animal Crossing are releasing on the same date.
Yeah, that's right.
And instead of being childish like some other fandoms online, I'm looking at you Birds of Prey and Sonic fans, the Doom community and the Animal Crossing community has come together to share fan art and looking forward to playing each other's games. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's so cute. It's like they're sharing the platform.
Yeah, it's great. Like there's a tweet here by Mr. Agent Strange at Mr. Agent Strange on Twitter, and it's just a picture of Doom guy and Isabelle admiring each other's work, and then another picture of Isabelle in the Doom armor.
Yeah, so for those listening, he's Mr. Agent Strange on Twitter has taken two screenshots, one from the Reddit community of Doom and one from the Reddit community for Animal Crossing, and both of them have fan art of the Doom characters, I guess, being a big fans of the of Isabelle from Animal Crossing, and same the other way around, where Isabelle is dressed up as like a Doom character. So it's like this really cute crossover of these two fandoms kind of coming together and being very supportive of each other, and it's so good.
And like the games could not be more different.
Yeah, but I feel like that comes from like that. I feel like this works because, like you said, the two games are so different that like there's really not much of competition. Like, it makes no sense for, like, a Doom person to go at Animal Crossing because, oh, it's a popular game. You know, Doom should get the attention. It's like, it's two very different audiences.
But I like this Doom thing. I like it. Mm, I like it a lot.
Me too.
I'm looking forward to Doom Guy being in Super Smash Brothers. And we can play as Isabelle and Doom Guy on the same team.
So, Mitch, I've heard that Blizzard is working on some animated Overwatch.
Dude, I am so excited about that. Like, it's been a long time coming. Like, I've, like...
So, like, is this, like, a new animated series that they're working on?
Well, okay, so that is... It's right now, it's sitting in between a little bit of a rumor, but it seems like it's true, because, this comes from the LinkedIn profile of Nick Van Dyke, the co-president of Activision Blizzard Studios. His LinkedIn profile says that, let's have a look here. There is currently in pre-production for distribution of a animated series for Diablo through mm-hmm. Netflix. And so that's because he is now listed as, I think, an executive producer on these two shows in his LinkedIn. So I don't know how true that is. Like, I'm not really sure how, like if you want to keep these things under wraps, it seems like a really bad way to blow it. Like, if you just put it on your LinkedIn. But right now, the internet is treating it like it's real. And I'm really, really hope that... I hope that's true, because those animated shorts that come out every couple of months for Overwatch, some of the highlights of my year.
Yeah, those are pretty damn good.
And like, even people that like don't play Overwatch, like
like a lot of animators watch those and they're like, "Wow, this is really great. I love what they did here." Like, from a story perspective, you know. Yes, a lot of them.
I think The Last Bastion actually got an award the year it came out.
Did it?
Yeah, I need to double check my sources on that. But I think it did get an award. But the reason why I want to still kind of treat this as speculation, because there's been no official word from Netflix, even though like people have been like speculating for years that an Overwatch kind of animated short thing would be a good fit for Netflix. Mm-hmm. They already have like similar adaptations, like the Castlevania series, which is pretty well received for a video game thing on Netflix. Like, people loved that. Everyone that I know that's watched that has loved it. So
it was really good.
Yeah. So just for clarification, the Overwatch Last Bastion was nominated in 2017 for a Webby's Award, the People's Choice. So it didn't win, mm-hmm. although it should have. It got nominated.
Right. That's the one where Bastion.
It's the one where Bastion wakes up.
Ah, okay.
And then he walks out of the thing, and then he destroys the forest.
Yeah, something triggers his PTSD.
Yeah, essentially, yeah, that one.
Yeah,
okay. And that I agree. That is the best one. It's not my favorite one. I think my favorite one is still, my favorite one is probably still either the May one or the Sombra one.
I was gonna say my favorite one was probably the Reinhardt one.
Oh, the Reinhardt one's good.
That one's really good. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what's been happening in the news.
You're listening to Mainstream by Pixelsift.
Visit us on pixelsift.com.au.
This has been Mainstream by Pixelsift. It's the video games that the Pixelsift team have been playing over the weeks and what we've been reading online. My name is Mitch, and thanks for being part of episode 8, Viv.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks to Brian Fairbanks from Salty Dog Sounds for composing the Mainstream theme music. And Viv, where can people find you on Twitter if they want to hear more of your thoughts?
I don't have many, but if they would like to find me, I'm on Twitter as @colorsupply, colorsupply.
And if you want to find me, I'm at 643. That's 6, the number 4, and T, and the number 3. It's a really confusing but I've been told that it's okay. So if you want to give Pixelsift a follow on social media as well, that's @Pixelsift, and on Facebook and Instagram as well, just give it a search, you'll just see our yellow icon. And if you want to check out our other Australian podcast award-winning indie game show, search for Pixelsift in your podcast player of choice and look for that same yellow logo.
We've got heaps more for you to check out, so head onto our website to see videos, articles, and much more on pixelsift.com.au and give us a rating or a review. That is pixelsift.com.au.
So like what you've heard, why not tell a mate that you like the show, get them to subscribe on their phone. Seriously, just take it, hit the subscribe button for us. That would be amazing.
It's free.
That's it for this episode of Mainstream. Until next time, keep playing the games and have fun.
Bye.
Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.